Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. So how would this be? You're sitting in your house in your social isolation, and, you know, it's quiet, and it's been like a month, and, you know, you're kind of bored, you know, with the whole thing, and you hear this music in the background. You're like, what the heck's going on outside today? What is that out there? And you look out there, and there is the guy that you've seen on TV singing at major sports venues, most notably Wrigley Field, John Vincent, singing mostly Sinatra songs or the Star Spangled Banner, a variety of songs. He's been going around to different neighborhoods and different building complexes and simply trying to bring a little bit of joy to people in this very, very peculiar time in which we're living. And John joins us on the phone right now. John, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing? You're like a portable music show, just, you know, going around and bringing entertainment and joy to people around the city of Chicago.
Well, that wasn't my idea. That came from Commander Chris Papayuanu of the 19th District. He called me up and asked me to do that, and Sergeant Tracy Edwards. And honestly, Dean, you know, I'm very vocal about having obsessive compulsive disorder. I am a hypochondriac, so my biggest thing was like, God, I'm kind of nervous to go out there and do this.
Yeah.
And they're like, John, we want to go to some nursing homes and spread joy. There are people who are really hurting, who don't have any connection, and they're just isolated. And when I heard that, I'm like, at some point, John, you got to be a man and grow up and say, okay, I got to do something for the greater good. So when I, you know, I hear people like Commander Chris, Sergeant Edwards, and then I got a good friend of mine at the Pentagon who works for a Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, and Jason Isom. These people are doing things, and you ask them, why do you do it? And they're like, because we have to. And I'm like, nah, you don't have to. You guys do it because you're stepping up. And I won't lie. I'm a chicken. I'm like, I'm thinking about this virus. I'm going out there. I'm nervous. We're doing social distancing. We're doing everything right. But when you have OCD, your brain goes to so many ways.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, God, okay, did I touch this? Did I do that? What happened here? I got to wash my hands, sanitizer.
Right, right. And, you want my diagnosis on this, John? And, you know, of course, I'm not a doctor at all. But that's not going to stop me from diagnosing why you did this. That's because you have a heart as big as anything. You know, you have a heart of gold. I've never seen anybody who is so caring for others than you. And you also happen to have this gift of this beautiful voice and the gift of song. And, you know, somebody asked you to step up, and your heart of gold wouldn't let you stay home. That's what it is.
Well, through Coach Ditka, I met so many people. I met so many people that have been in so many different walks of life. Everybody and anybody from actors, celebrities, to having dinner with John McCain and all these people that Coach Ditka just, you know, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. You know, you see these people, you see all these other people and people in the military and people in law enforcement. And I just got to meet so many people, and I gravitated towards the positive people who are doing positive things. Because, Dean, I'm going to tell you right now, I was not a happy guy for most of my life. I struggled greatly because I was very angry, because I was bullied when I was a kid. So I fight these internal demons. And when you say I'm this guy with a heart of gold, there was a side of me that was very angry and that was very jealous or pissed off at the world because, yeah, you know, I was hurt as a kid.
Yeah.
So that's why I started doing the bullying thing.
At one time, you know, but
yes, sir.
I mean, I've known you for quite a few years, and any time that anybody asks you to help out with anything, you always do. You are as gentle and nice a person as they come. So, boy, I'm sorry to hear. I never knew that that you struggled with all of this. And good for you for confronting it face on. That's a major thing. But
the biggest thing was when I in February of 2018, attempted suicide. Thank God I was too afraid to actually go with it. I used a belt and it got stuck on my neck. And when it got stuck, when I pulled it, I freaked out. Hmm. I got really scared and I tried grabbing it to unhook it.
Yeah.
And I did. I was able to unhook it. But then I felt such dread inside me. I was like, screw it. And I grabbed it really hard and I kind of hurt my throat. And I just dropped the belt to the ground and I just said, please, I don't want this. I don't want this, God. I don't want that. I just want peace.
Wow.
I just want peace because my brain does not stop. And it's not like in a good way. It's like it's constant worry. It's constant dread. It's constant. You have a pandemic going on right now, but I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but I've had this sense of, you know how this uneasiness and kind of fear, we all have this underlying fear and everything right now with this pandemic going on. When you suffer from mental illness and you have hypochondria like I do or other things, you kind of have that dread and that fear always right. in the back of your mind.
Right.
It's always there. And what I wanted to do is I'm like, okay, John, so you experienced this for 20, 30 some years since you were 17. Maybe now you can help people who are suffering for the first time in this shocking world we're in. And I learned to take everything as a positive. Like, what if the coronavirus was never such a thing that came out, COVID-19, and maybe you were walking across the street and I got hit by a car and I died? We can turn anything into a positive. It's not easy and it's hard,
yeah.
But what's the other thing, right? What are you going to do?
What's the alternative? And just the fact that you are so aware of all of this and, you know, it's such a part of your consciousness and that you're dealing with it instead of ignoring it or trying to bury it. It says that you're making progress. I hope you fully understand that. But the joy on the faces of the people, we saw in the videos, when you would just go to nursing homes and, you know, go to different places and you're standing out in the street completely socially distanced correctly. Your big voice, with the microphone and the music, and sharing your gift with everybody, the complete joy that it brought to people, had to make you feel great, I would think, right?
It did. I got very lucky, Dean. I left Ditka's last year, and I talked to Mrs. Ditka last week, and her and Coach Ditka will always be second parents to me. I love them with all my heart. And when I left Ditka's, I went to join the guys who own Sugar Factory and RBI's, Rizzo's, 365. And you will not find the Rizzo family more generous, kinder people. I mean, they do the duck drop in the river for Special Olympics. They are constantly donating to that Special Olympics, and they are just unbelievable people. And they're the ones who supply all the sound system with treble monsters. There's this gentleman by the name of Kais Alawaki. I can't really pronounce Kais's last name. He's so awesome.
Yeah.
He's doing this Bring Out the Creative, talking about musicians and singers who are out of work. He's working with us, like I said, Sugar Factory, Rizzo's, 365, and then we're going to open up this Italian-American restaurant, nightclub, and place where I perform. It's going to be off the river in Michigan, and obviously it was going to be open around now, but everything's been pushed back, which is, what's going on in this world, and we just want to bring happiness and a place to have fun, because sometimes in life, you get those good days, and those good days go by real quick, and then when the bad days come along, we say, this will pass. Well, we got to remember, the good days pass, too, and when you think of it that way, you start savoring them more, and then the bad ones are like, okay, this will pass, and you're like, all right, this will pass, it's okay, but we're human. We get caught up in these times of, especially when our lives get turned upside down.
Sure.
It's shocking. It is shocking. It's really shocking.
I never really...
I just got a call before this.
Yeah, Go ahead.
Bob Titles said, say hello. I wanted to say hello to you. Bob Titles just called me about. He's like, tell Dean I love him. So tell him I said hello.
He's a good guy.
I'll do that because he called me. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's been the producer of several movies that have been made here in Chicago and elsewhere. Very successful movie producer.
Yes.
You know, I never really thought about John until you just brought this up so passionately about people who live with some kind of anxiety disorders, that these times that we're living in right now, you know, people are complaining they're bored, they're, they feel closed in their house, they don't know what to do with their kids and this and that. But some people are really suffering with genuine anxiety disorders and dealing with this at the same time. We completely forget about a much more serious side of what social isolation can be doing to people right now, more than just boredom and, oh, there's nothing to watch on TV and, you know, things that, you know, seem trivial. Ooh, I got it. Oh, my roots are showing. Ooh, I got to get a haircut. You know, things like that.
Yeah,
well, I don't.
My hair was all crooked.
Yeah, I don't ever need to.
My girlfriend said, don't ever do that again. I'll take care of that for you. I'm like, I really don't give a bleep. I go out. Yeah. What am I doing? I go, I'm just, you know, act. I don't care.
Exactly.
Jesus, look at me. I'm like 350 pounds, and I'm going to worry about my hair right now. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of advice do you give to somebody who, may be feeling like you and feeling some genuine anxiety with all that's going on right now? What do you tell them? I mean, you know, is it,
I think the first thing we have to realize is that we need each other. As much as differences we have, as much as difference of opinion, I'm not a political person at all. I'm not into politics. But when I went into the Pentagon a year ago or so ago, I was so impressed to be part of the United States of America, because these people are fighting for our freedom and they want us to be protected and they want to protect us. So when I saw this, I was proud to be an American. My father came here by boat in Italy in 1960. My mother, she came here a little before that, but they met in Chicago. They didn't meet in Italy. And my father always told me, Johnny, you know, he was under Mussolini's rule, and he went through some really, really bad times. And there's a couple articles in Sports Illustrated about the anthem and my father, and I talk about my grandmother. And what I want to say is we need each other. So there's a group of people that I really, really love talking to. My buddy Jason Eason, like I said, in the Pentagon, my family, I have two great sisters, two great parents, great brother-in-laws, nieces. I have friends that you know, I'm sure, of. Larry Wirt has always been a great guy who I love. Larry's always been, there's different people you can have for different situations. Larry saved my life because I was getting really depressed, and he said, Johnny, I want you to try this ketamine right away. I want you to do this, and it helped me tremendously. So I'll never forget that of Larry. And I don't know if you know Larry's mother, Joanne. She's just one of the most positive people you'll ever meet. You see where Larry gets that. So there's many guys, Joe Madden, Crane Kenny, people I talk to, that Perry Mandera and Alex from Cinespace, and all these people who have all this different advice for me, and the commander, you know, Commander Papanuanu, again, saying, I'm like, why do you do it, sir? He goes, because I have to. You hear all this positive stuff from these people, and they're like, they all have that same goal. Keep going. My Uncle Benny, who lost his wife at the age of 50 in 1989, my Auntie Mary, of cancer in the month of February, and then lost my cousin Christina in 2017 in the month of February, also at the age of 50. And I said, Uncle Benny, how do you do this? And with a very heavy Italian accent, he goes, Johnny, you got to be a strong for everybody else. And when he said that to me, I was like, holy crap, man, this guy is like, are you kidding me? That's just something. And I see these people in my life, and I think everybody should see that, because they're all there. All these people are there to have. It's just that open up a dialogue with someone.
Right.
And if they're a stranger or not, give somebody a chance to be who they are. And you're going to find some really great humans out there.
Yeah, well, you know, I we were talking about this earlier in the show. There was a gentleman who lived in he and his wife live in Kansas. They're an older couple who live in a small town in Kansas, and he found a bunch of these N95 masks, you know, that there's a shortage of.
Yes, I heard about that.
Right
yes,
now?
Yes, sir.
And he wrote a letter to Governor Cuomo in New York and sent some of the masks. He said that, you know, I'm keeping a couple of them because, you know, my wife has diabetes and his wife has some conditions, but I thought that maybe you could get these to some nurses. Here's somebody who's just, as you say, we all need somebody. He just wanted to help somebody. This guy just wanted to help somebody. Didn't know who, didn't have a face, a name. He just said, I have these masks. Maybe somebody can use them during this time, you know, and that's all that somebody needs to do is show some kindness towards somebody else. And that's why I was so moved when I saw the videos on your Facebook page and elsewhere of you just going out and singing for people. And, you know, people are full of anxiety. People are, you know, full of, you know, they're going stir crazy in their houses. And all of a sudden, this beautiful voice is outside their house. You know, and singing songs, and people come outside, and they're smiling, they're laughing, they're clapping, they're singing along with you. Look at the joy that you've brought, you know, people, just by reaching out and, you know, sharing with other people for no reason. No reason whatsoever, except the kindness of your heart and the kindness of the people who brought you in to do this.
Yeah, I mean, again, this was all Chicago Police and, you know, the 19th District, the commander's idea. He approached me, and then the people I work for, they're always giving. The Rizzos are like, hey, we're huge on Special Olympics. Like, okay, we got a guy who we love, who does sound for all my shows. You know, Kice with Treble Monsters. He's out there with speakers set up in the car and everything, putting on the roof so it gets this big, rich sound. One of the funniest things was I was at one of the nursing homes, and while we were setting up, there was one older gentleman in the window, and I kid you not, he just looks at me. I'm waving at him, and he just points at me, and he gives me the finger, and he goes, like, get out. And I was like, all right, this guy doesn't want me to be singing. So I just started laughing my ass off. A couple of the people who were there with me doing it, they're like, this guy's giving you the finger. And I'm like, I don't blame him. Maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't like the way I sing.
Yeah. You know, maybe.
So that made me laugh.
Maybe he was watching The Price is Right. Who knows? Who knows what the guy was doing? Well, so when this is all over, John,
you got to find humor in everything.
You got to laugh.
Humor, you got to laugh. Life is a joke, and I'm not saying that in a light way. I'm saying that in a funny way.
Yeah.
I learned as I get older, this is just a game. We're going to have good parts of the game, and there's bad parts. One minute you're scoring a touchdown, the next minute you get called for holding, or there's a turnover. But you keep going. You keep trying in that game.
Exactly.
I don't care how bad it feels, how much it hurts. You got to keep going, because I can tell you, I tried to kill myself. That's not the answer. That's not the answer, and that's not the way to go in life.
So
you got to keep going forward.
So, John, after this pandemic is over and we get back to some sort of sense of normalcy, you mentioned that you're going to be performing at this new venue that's going to be opening. Are we going to be seeing you out at Wrigley Field and some of the other sports arenas?
Yes, Wrigley is. I'm staying right across the street from Wrigley, so every morning I wake up, I see those lights, I see the marquee, and I just, you know, I know there's so many other serious things that we have to think of, but, you know, you miss the normalcy of baseball. I was walking out, and today, and I'm like, would there have been a game today? You know, would there have been this? And just seeing people going out in the field and seeing the people. I was talking to one of the guys who works for the Cubs, Max Berman. Max and Jim Obojkowicz take care of the anthem and all the seventh inning stretches. And I'm like, I just saw a video somebody sent me, and you guys were in it. And I miss you guys. Like, it's like something you just don't realize. Like, man, I miss that normalcy. I miss that. I miss that whatever. But then we got to take the positive. Okay, what's positive out of this? Not a lot. There isn't a lot of positive, but there is some positiveness in this. And we have to keep grabbing onto that.
Yeah.
If it means spending more time talking to loved ones instead of texting, more doing video chats, telling people, hey, I love you, because we're like, it's weird. You know, when you're a hypochondriac, you have OCD, death is on your mind constantly. You're always being like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know. When a pandemic happens, now most of society has that feeling, that anxiety. So what can we do? Just be kinder to each other. I know, yeah, it sounds corny, but really, what are you going to do? You want to be an a-hole? That's not the way to live life.
Well, that's the truth. You know, be a little kinder and take things one day at a time. Take things as they come, and you know, deal with them the best that you can. I just wanted to say thank you for those street concerts that you've been putting on. I presume you're going to be doing some more of those. I hope you are. Okay, for the joy,
yes, sir.
For the joy, except for that one guy who gave you the finger.
That guy was the best. That guy was awesome. He was sitting in the window, and we're just setting up, and I see him first, and I'm waving, and I just see him. I thought he was waving. He's like, no. He's like, go down the street, and then he flips me off, and I'm like, that guy's awesome. I go, that's hilarious. And that's what I'm saying. Laugh at the crazy stuff. Yeah. Embrace the insanity. Embrace whatever. Laugh at yourself. The biggest thing you can do in life is if you can let go. If anybody has an ego at this time during a pandemic, you got to look in the mirror, because we are seeing how human we are, how fragile we are, how whatever fleeting life is. And at this point, that's one of the positive things we can take out and say, who cares? Be the best you can be, and whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens. That's the truth. John, thank you for sharing your story, not only of your singing and your gift, but your personal story as well. I hope that others will find it inspiring. It's always great to talk with you. I hope that we can see you soon, and I look forward to having a great chat in person one of these days soon, all right?
Yes, sir, and thank you again, Mr. Richards, and I'm sorry about the passing of your brother. I mean, you've always been very, very kind to me every time I've performed at WGN, and anytime I see you, I know you deal with, you know, I'm nobody. You deal with a ton of celebrities and everything, but you've always been so kind, and I appreciate that. That means a lot, and that's what this is all about. You do the same thing. You're a very good person.
You are somebody to me, and you are somebody to a lot of people. I guarantee you that, and I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us today. We'll talk to you soon, okay, John? Take care.
Yes, sir. You're the best. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye, buddy. Take care.